This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you that we can lift up marriages before you this morning, Lord. We thank you that we can commit to you those that are planning to get married and wanting to join the marriage preparation course. But also we pray for every marriage in our church, Lord. We pray for every marriage represented here this morning, every family, and even those in our city and nation. And we trust you this morning, Lord, that you would pour out your grace on each one, Lord, in Jesus' name, each family. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that for this amazing call that you've called us with to, as in our marriages, to reflect and represent the mystery of Christ and his bride, Lord. And we thank you for your abundance of grace that you've poured out for us to walk in that, Lord, for your abundance of grace and the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you've given for us to be victorious in that, Lord. This morning we humble ourselves, Lord. We trust you, Lord, for your grace. We trust you for your provision. We pray for your strength over marriages. We pray for your blessing over communication in families, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust that your glory will be revealed as we humble ourselves before you, Lord, as we receive your grace, Lord, as we walk in your victory, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for mighty rising up of mighty men and women of God that with godly marriages, Lord, that would reflect your glory, Lord, and that truly we see your kingdom come, Lord, in families, in communities, in cities across our nation, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray your blessing over specifically our church family here this morning and each marriage represented. And we trust, Lord, even for where there's challenges and where there's obstacles, we pray that your grace would abound, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come, in Jesus' name. And everybody who says, amen. Thanks. It's a privilege to share the word this morning. For those of you that have thought about joining Bible school, I think the open sessions are over, but if you still want to sneak in there, you still might find a gap. This last Tuesday, we took a couple of the students to do some practical. There is a danger to get theoretical around the word, but one of the best ways to approach the word of God is in terms of application. How does this word, this scripture, apply to my life here and now today? How can I apply the word of God in my life? So we went out and we did some, we went in groups of two, and we went to share the love of Christ in an area not far from here where there's a lot of young people hang out in the evenings. It was a quiet evening, but the Lord was faithful. I mean, beforehand we prayed and the Lord showed us one or two specific things, the one thing we saw was a person with the brown leather jacket. So the one place we went to, there was only about three people in there, but one of them was wearing a brown leather jacket, you know. So we could chat to them a bit, and I chatted to the one bouncer, really big guy, but such a soft heart and really open to what God wanted to say, and I could pray with him there as well. Luckily, for him, it was lucky he wasn't busy because I could pray with him while he was working. So there was a blessing. But it's just awesome to see the first years just going to put in practice what they've been learning. So praise God for that. What a blessing. So if you still want to join, you're welcome. And even if you just want to join for the practical, we'll probably have another one for the second years soon. In any case, I just had such a laugh this weekend. Our youngest, Emily, she's turning 3 in November. I don't know, yeah, I've probably mentioned this, but she's very different from the other two. She's very much more sociable and much more aware of what she's wearing and, you know, what fits together and colors and stuff like that and the state of her hair. She's always doing this. any case, so I've noticed that she also likes different shoes, you know. So she is, like yesterday, I literally, within a space of 10 minutes, she came to ask me to put on different shoes. And every time, because she can't put them on herself yet. So, and she comes and she says, "Papa, can you please help me put on these shoes?" I said, "Yes, sure. Will you keep them on?" "Yes, definitely," you know. And then literally 2 minutes later, she comes with another pair because she can take them off herself, but she can't put them on. So then they end up all over the house. And then when we're looking for her shoes, they're never in a cupboard. And then always find them in random places. But what a blessing, eh? They're all different. And praise the Lord. I don't know about a husband one day. He's going to have a shoe budget on the side. We'll pray for that. I've had on my heart this morning for us to actually just pray for the word specifically. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Lord, it's such a privilege for us to be able to come and take some time and then worship you together, Lord, and meet with you as a family, Lord. And this morning we trust the Holy Spirit that you would breathe life over us in Jesus' name. We trust that you would speak to us. We trust that you would feed us and nourish us, our spirits, Lord. And that when we leave this place, that we would be more like Christ, God, in Jesus' name. We just entrust this time to you, Lord, and we consecrate it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So about 2 weeks ago, we chatted a bit about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I called it superior firepower. Speaking about the fire of the Holy Spirit that came on the believers at Pentecost, and how you know, how God empowers us with His Spirit. And I wanted to follow on that a little bit. So this is the second installment on that one, but I just want to briefly recap. If you weren't here then, I'll just mention very briefly. We looked at Jesus, the Great Commission. Actually, let's look at a different version of it in Luke chapter 24, from 46. And he said, this is Jesus saying, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." So he speaks about the message that will go across the whole of the earth. Now the Great Commission commissioning us to take the gospel, take the good news to every nation. And then he says this very important thing. He says, "But before you go," and this is where we started last week. "Before you go," he says, "do not go unless you've received the power of the Holy Spirit." In fact, another translation, another from the Gospels in Acts, it says he commanded them to wait in Jerusalem. So he gives them this great commission, but then he says, "Listen, the most important thing, before you go, you have to wait. Before you go, wait and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Then, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you will go to the ends of the earth." He says, "I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." So we spoke about how that empowerment works. We spoke about the motive behind it. We see how Paul introduces the gifts, and he speaks about the body, how it has to work together. And we spoke about the motive of love. And we looked at a few practical things around that. This morning I want us to almost take half a step back. And if this is something that's familiar to you, please just bear with me for a few minutes. I just felt I needed to lay a bit of a foundation. But let's look again at John chapter 14, 16 and 17. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither seeks him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The promise that he promised us, the helper, the word there in the Greek is the parakletos, the one who comes alongside us. We mentioned that last time. And then John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And I mentioned last time that imagine how this must have confused the disciples. Having been with Christ, most of them about 3 years, which was the time of his ministry, having experienced so much with him, having been with him day and night, having seen, you know, having been taught by Jesus, having walked with him, and having witnessed him, and being a part of incredible miracles. You know, they were there. They received the fish and the bread. Must have been like a little piece each. If you divide 5 loaves and 2 fish into 12, you know, must have been a very small piece. And they were there. They saw the multiplication happening as they handed it out. They were there when Jesus called Lazarus from the grave. They were there when people were raised. You know, another lady was, or a girl was raised from the dead, and then so many things. And now Jesus said, It's to your advantage that I go. It's better for you that I go. Must have thought about, how is that possible? I'm sure Peter must have said something like, no, this can't be, you know, there must be a better plan. And but he says, it's to your advantage. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. How much more do we right now in today's hectic time, do we need this helper? How much more do we need the promise? How much more do we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work that God has called us to do? So the foundation I want to lay, I just want to look at a few basic things around our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are two primary ways that we experience the Holy Spirit. And this is something that after being a believer for a couple of years, I only came across this, and I just want to feel, I just need to share this with you. So the first way we experience the Holy Spirit is when, and this we see in Scripture. The Scripture says, when he comes to us, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So the role the Holy Spirit plays before we come to Christ is a very important and powerful one, right? The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He is the one that points us to Jesus and says, listen, you are in trouble. You need a Savior, right? With that place of conviction where you and I come to a revelation that I am a sinful person and I need a Savior. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that convicts the world. And then he points to Christ. He says, you need to be, Jesus is your Savior. He points us to Christ. He draws us and he convicts us, right? So he convicts the unbeliever. And then let's read from John chapter 3, verse 3 and then 5 to 8. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then verse 5, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And then I want to also just read briefly 1 Corinthians 12. This is where Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and this is not a new thing to them. They've been experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, but he gives a bit of teaching around it. He clarifies some things, and he gives some direction and some order around how they should operate in the gifts and the service. And we see from chapter 12, verse 1, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities, other translations say the gifts of the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. So he wants them to be clear. That's why he writes, and he wants to pull it apart a bit. And verse 3 says, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So that's the first very important way that the, when we come to salvation, that confession of Christ and that work of the Holy Spirit is very evident there. When we confess Christ as our Savior, when we confess Jesus as Lord, it is the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that, right? He convicts us, He points us to Jesus, and it says here that we cannot actually even confess Jesus as Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So there, immediately, the Holy Spirit is at work, and he is very crucial in that moment of salvation. Does that make sense? So we cannot confess Christ as Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That's one of the ways we test spirits is, if there's something or somebody that you're wondering whether they are of God, ask them about this, the Lordship of Christ and whether Jesus has come in the flesh. That often, you know, the Scripture directs us to test the spirit like that. But this is a key moment here that we cannot say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. All right. And then the second important way that we experience the Holy Spirit. Now, this is, I want us to distinguish these two. And I experienced this in my own life. The difference between the Holy Spirit's involvement to get to, you know, in my salvation, and then a different experience of the Holy Spirit after that. Well, first, I want us to briefly read Acts chapter 19. From verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, so these weren't just random guys, these were disciples. Another translation says, finding some believers, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So this was news to them. And this is pretty much where I was at many years ago. I was a believer. I'd been born again. I was absolutely convinced and I was absolutely sure of my salvation. And I remember the day. I remember the moment. I remember making the decision to follow Christ. I remember the change that happened in my life. And only years later did I actually begin to have exposure to the Holy Spirit. So I was pretty much in this category. I didn't even know about this. I've heard the word Holy Spirit. I've heard in a Bible stories about, you know, kings and priests being anointed by the Holy Spirit. I didn't have any clue how that related to me as a believer. So I was pretty much in this category. I didn't even know how this worked or what this is all about. And then verse 3, he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So they recognized that they had become believers under the ministry of John the Baptist. And then they baptized them in the name of Jesus, and then when they laid hands on them, they received the power of the Holy Spirit. So only years after I became a believer, only years after I'd become born again, I heard about the Holy Spirit, but mine was a little bit different. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. I was received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit before being baptized in water. All right, so that can happen that way around as well. And I just want to quickly look at another example. The whole of New Testament is full of this. It's these two explain it nicely for me. So, Acts chapter 8, believers who were scattered preached the good news about, from verse 4, about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left the victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Let's go on. But now the people who believed Philip's message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, as a result, many men and women were baptized. So just pause there for a moment. We see this evangelist, Philip the evangelist, going to Samaria, preaching the word, the Lord confirming the word with signs and wonders, miracles were happening, people were being delivered, paralyzed were being healed. There's great joy in the city as people are believing and receiving the good news. Amen? The good news, the gospel of Christ always has an impact on the community, right? It's not only individuals. It's always a greater impact. People were being restored physically and mentally in all kinds of ways, right? So, let's take it further. So, when verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. So, again, yeah, now, these guys didn't have the Gautrain, or, although that isn't so great at the moment, apparently. bad example. So they didn't have fast cars or, you know, public transport, anything like that, helicopters. So they, whenever they had made journeys like this, it was by foot mostly, and on foot, or maybe a donkey if they were lucky, but a donkey's not much quicker than a human. So this would take some time. So we see that they received the word, Philip did his outreach there, then the message got to Jerusalem, which must have taken a few days, and then they sent the guys down, which must have taken some time as well. They sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. And you see that the difference between the guys that they had received the good news, they had been born again, they had been baptized in water, they were believers now, but they had not yet received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So the one way we experience the Holy Spirit is in salvation, and it absolutely, you cannot take the Holy Spirit out of salvation, right? The Holy Spirit points us to Christ. But then we see something really interesting. We see Jesus, once we are in relationship with Him, you see Jesus pointing us to the Holy Spirit. He says, there will be another helper. You cannot go without the helper. Please wait for the helper. In fact, I command you to wait for the helper. So then it's Jesus that points us to the Holy Spirit. And we see here that after the believers had been baptized in water, after they had received the good news, then they laid hands on them and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see them evidenced in speaking in tongues and prophesying. So they received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit a while after being born again. Now sometimes we see in Scripture this happens in different order, but the born-again part normally comes first, right? So you cannot receive, you cannot confess Jesus as Lord except the Holy Spirit. We read that. The water baptism happens later, right? It doesn't have to happen before Holy Spirit baptism. We saw this in the household of Cornelius. They were all Gentiles. Peter comes and preaches the word to them. While they were sitting there listening to the word, and they're receiving the word, believing the word, they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And only then, that was a key moment for the apostles, because they had only until that time had only been preaching to Jews, right? Now they see the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon Gentiles. Oh my goodness. And then they said, that's surely they have to be baptized, because the power of the Holy Spirit has also come upon them. So that was a turning moment for the gospel going to the Gentiles, which is good news for us, right? Because we're all Gentiles. I think most of us here will be classified as Gentiles. Right. So we see these two incredible, important moments. I want to really encourage us, not only in our own lives, but also in how we minister to others. Are we also underlining this? Are we also, when I'm sharing the gospel with somebody, when I'm praying for a fellow believer, am I pointing to the Holy Spirit as Christ did? Am I saying, listen, in my own life, I cannot go without the helper, but I want to say to you as well, if I'm ministering to you, cannot go without the helper. Can we talk about this? Can we have a chat about that? And I want to throw that out there. This should be a very key part of our sharing Christ with others. I don't know about you, but I have found a lot of people I share Christ with have some understanding of God. In this city, it's a very much is an openness for the gospel. We saw it again the other night. Most of the people coming back were astounded at how open people were to receive prayer, or even just to talk about God. And now we're not talking about a religious environment, right? I was standing at the bar. I ordered a Coke. You know, I didn't have cash. Anyways, the guy ended up blessing me with a Coke, which is amazing. But I was having a Coke, sitting next to a guy having a drink, and we were having a smoke, and we were talking about Jesus, all right? But there was an openness, which was amazing. But what I've found is often, even people that have some kind of relationship, they have a relationship with God, there are many that have not received the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, I can testify from my own life that the change in my following Jesus before receiving the power of the Spirit and after is big. There's a massive difference there. There's a massive shift there in my life. And I believe many of you can testify of the same. We mentioned the example of Peter last week, how his life changed. He was following Jesus. Yes, you know, this is interesting dynamic around the disciples, because they were literally following Jesus, right? And Jesus had not yet died, so there's this transition phase where going from the law, but then, you know, being, at what point did they get born again? That's an interesting question, okay? But we see the place where Peter's life was not full of power, because he was the one that was denying Christ. Also, most of them ran away. He was denying Christ. And then we see the massive transformation when he received the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a similar transformation in my life when I received the Holy Spirit. And I believe he wants to empower all of us in that way. Okay, I don't have a lot of time left, but I want to just mention one or two things around us being led by the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Last week we spoke a bit about more specifically the gifts, but I want to speak a little bit more general. Let's look at Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, I've just picked a few key verses out of Romans 8, right? So just stick with me. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. I just want to actually pause there for a moment. Have you found, and I've experienced this, maybe you can relate to this, is that it's easier for me to trust on the Holy Spirit and rely on the Holy Spirit in a church context. A small group, yes, makes a lot of sense. Missions, for sure, you know, focusing, praying in the Spirit, everything. On the outreach the other night, yes, you know what, completely relying on the Holy Spirit, okay? But then this weird thing that happens to us, maybe you can relate to this, is that when it comes to finances or other stuff, or maybe, you know, things that do not always fit in our church box, okay, just hang with me. So there's other parts of my life, suddenly I'm phoning a friend, or I'm reading an article. I'm saying, let me just find some other guidance. I'm not doing it consciously, but somehow it's harder for us to trust God in things that don't always fit in our Christian box. Have you experienced that? So maybe you're sitting at work, you're extremely highly qualified, you know what you're doing, you're a specialist in your field, and you find yourself not praying in the Spirit and not trusting God for decisions there. Have you experienced that? Or maybe you're struggling with a situation around your work or your family. Are we trusting in God? Are we trusting for the Holy Spirit to lead us in those kind of situations? Now it says here, to set the mind on the flesh is death, and to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. I've seen this in finance, If I set my mind on the flesh and I'm trusting in the flesh and I'm trying so many things and I'm scheming, because this is what my carnal nature wants to do, is scheme, you know, make a plan, figure stuff out, it is death there. It doesn't work. I'm not saying one shouldn't be equipped. I'm not saying one shouldn't study. I'm not saying you shouldn't read and equip yourself and gain knowledge and get advice. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying I find if I only lean on the flesh and I go and try in my own strength, there's normally death there, right? In other words, there's no flourishing there. There's no stuff doesn't really always flourish there. And the same with relationships. Have you found that? Challenges in marriage or challenges in relationships. When we set our mind on the flesh, there's death. So if you go into a challenge in your relationship or in your marriage, in the flesh, I can almost guarantee you there's going to be just more death. The spiral's going to go down, all right? Because we always end up fighting or defending or just this carnal, and there's no life there. But when we choose to walk in the Spirit, suddenly there's life and there's peace. All right, let's go on with the scripture. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, who are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And guys, this is something the Holy Spirit is challenging me about. So I'm sharing this because God is working in my heart around this. Am I being led by the Spirit of God in the things that are not in the traditional church box? At my work, in the place where maybe you are, like I said, an expert, you are so well qualified. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Are you being directed? Are your steps directed by the Spirit of God in your marriage? One other thing that I've felt while I was praying is parenting. I don't know about you, but it's easy. No, it's not easy, but I want to trust God in my parenting because it's difficult. It doesn't come natural, right? It's something that I have to work on. But I sometimes don't. I sometimes find myself leaning on the flesh, thinking about stuff, trusting in my own wisdom, and not engaging the Holy Spirit about the situation. Are you with me? Taking time to say, I'm going to read that book about parenting. It's very blessed. Or I'm going to do the course. There's another one coming up. It's very blessed, and please do those. But taking time to pray and say, Lord, how should I approach this situation with my son or my daughter? Please direct my steps. Please give me wisdom. Direct me, show me, give me a word. I'm so amazed how God is so ready to speak into those areas, guys. If you know, the other night I was praying and over my children, and they were basically almost asleep. You know, I would go to each one. And I remember just praying over David, and I just wanted to speak a word over his life. And the other day, also when Abby, specifically when she was having a birthday, we took some time just to trust God for words for her. I shared a few things that I felt that God was laying on my heart for her, and she really appreciated it. She's 7. But she could really appreciate that. But I'm just always amazed when I engage the heart of God about my children. I don't find it difficult to hear His voice. Amen? Because He wants to speak to us about these things. The same thing in our relationships, the things in marriages. Often the things which is hard for us because we have to humble ourselves, right? That's the key, guys. Humbling ourselves to receive God's grace. But when we do, you know, if you maybe you're having a standoff or there's a difficult situation in your relationship or your marriage, I want to ask this question. Have you prayed for your partner or your spouse? Have you taken time? Not to say, Lord, please sort them out. They're wrong. You know, please deliver them from these demons. You know, please. But have you really engaged the heart of God? Obviously, I'm talking to myself here. Have you really engaged the heart of God for your spouse? Because if you have, you will approach the situation probably very differently. The Holy Spirit directing us, leading us. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Are we really walking as children of God? Are we really allowing, taking time to allow the to invite the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to direct our steps? Picture or example I thought of was, you know, if I had to organize a rugby game, and or if I had to play in a rugby match, for, you know, that wouldn't be great these days, and the, you know, the fitness issue and all that. But if we, just for a moment, let's think about that. So if we had to make a rugby team in church, we did that years ago. But if we had to make a rugby team and we had a bunch of guys together, and I would say, yes, guys, let's do this thing. We, none of us are professionals, but let's try our best. And say Siya Kulisi comes and joins us and he says, listen, can I give you guys some advice? And we're like, no, listen, we're fine, really good. Don't you want to sit on the bench? Don't you want to just watch the bench for us? He's the current Springbok captain, if you're wondering. And we just say, listen, this is, thanks for your advice, thanks for that eagerness, but won't you just sit on the side here? Do you agree that that would not be wise? That would be the, you know, I feel that's how sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit. God says, listen, I'm giving you of myself. I'm pouring the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, the same power. I want you to experience my presence and my power and my love with you. And we're like, okay, cool. Won't you want to sit on the side there? And he said, I want to empower you for life. I want you to be victorious. I want you to be successful. I want you to walk in the fullness that I've prepared for you. I want you to be able to do the will, my will for you. And we say, okay, that's all good, but we got this. Won't you want to sit on the side there? Don't you see how silly that is? You can pull that through to many sports or many situations, but he's poured out his Spirit in all his fullness, so that we can experience the fullness of life, that we can be sons of God, children of God, in a real sense. I just want to I mentioned the scripture last time. I just want to read this, just to read it together. 2 Timothy 3, from verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Just see if you can recognize any of these things that he mentions here. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I think I've seen that one. Ungrateful, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. See, now, he gives us all this list of stuff. Now, we can spend all day talking about those things, but we see this stuff, guys. I think we are approaching the last days, okay? We see all of these things, but the key that I want to look at there is the having an appearance of godliness. Having something that looks like godliness, but denying the power of it. And to be really honest, there was a time in my life before I was saved where there was an appearance of godliness in my life, but no power. No power. In fact, I was faking it most of the time. Well, I was faking it until I got born again. Then I was trying really hard, mostly in my own strength, before I received power from the Holy Spirit. Can you see that it's still around us a lot in our own lives? is there a part where we see an appearance of godliness, but we are denying the power of Christ? We are denying the power of the Holy Spirit. Or if we're not actively denying it and opposing it, are we really walking in it? Are we really being led by the Spirit? Okay. Can we skip the next one? And I want us just to close with a scripture again from 1 Corinthians 2. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, this is Paul writing, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Why don't you stand this morning, let's pray. There's a few specific things I want us to pray through, and I just want to, I just trust God to speak into our hearts this morning. Firstly, we see at the cross, we see this incredibly powerful demonstration of the love of God. We see the Father giving His only Son. We see Him paying the highest price so that you and I can have a relationship with Jesus, that you and I can have a relationship with the Father. We see a good Father reaching out to us, crossing the great divide of us and drawing us close to Him again and opening a way for us to have fullness of relationship with Him, that which we were designed for, made for. He crosses that divide, that chasm, and He invites us to Himself through the blood of His Son. He is a giver of good gifts. He loves each one. And I can say to you, one of the things that I love the most as a dad is to give gifts to my children, because I love it. It's so fulfilling. I enjoy it so much. In the same way, the Father, He loves giving good gifts to us. Even in a much greater way, He loves giving good gifts to us. And the gift of His Holy Spirit, I believe, is one of the greatest ones, and beyond the gift of salvation, the most important one that we need to receive is the person of the Holy Spirit. Empower not only His presence, but also His empowerment. I felt that there's a few people I want to pray for this morning. The first category is if you are here this morning and like me, you're born again, but you have not yet received the empowerment. When I was born again, I had not received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If that's you this morning, I believe the Father is inviting you to come and receive this good gift that He has prepared for you. Second group is, I believe you are maybe wrestling with that duality where there's some things that fit into your Christian box or your church box, and there's some things that don't fit in there, and there's some areas where you find yourself relying on the arm of the flesh or relying on your own wisdom, trusting maybe in your own experience. And you know this morning, you need to take away those divides and say, Lord, I want to be led by You, by Your Spirit, as a child of God. Not in some things, not in some areas of my life, but completely, Lord. I want you to be Lord of all my life. And there's some that I feel that you have known that place. You have known that place of intimacy with the Holy Spirit in the past. Maybe you started off in your business and you were full of faith and the Lord was directing your steps and it was a daily thing, but now you find yourself no longer in that place. And I just also want to pray for you this morning. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you convict each one of us, each of our hearts, about where we are at with you right now. Thank you for your great, great love for each one here. Thank you, Lord, that you are such an amazing Father, that you gave your Son so that we can have life. This morning, as every eye is closed, if you're here this morning and you've not yet accepted that first gift of salvation, you've not yet decided to follow Christ as Lord, you've not yet taken that gift of salvation, but this morning you know you want to make right with God. And maybe this morning you have a conviction in your heart and you know that you want to choose to this morning to follow Him. You want to turn away from sin. You want to turn away from your own ways and you want to follow His way as Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, before we pray for the other stuff, won't you raise your hand for a moment? I'd love to pray with you if you'd like to make that choice this morning. Is there anybody like that? Father, we thank you that we can bring our hearts before you, Lord. You know where each one is at. I just want you to take a moment where you're standing and wherever you fall in these categories, just to bring your heart before God. Just to, specifically this morning, if you know you're born again, but you have not yet received the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit, you to be take a very bold step and come to the front. We'd love to lay hands on you. If you want to today choose to receive that gift, we'd love to lay hands on you and pray with you. Is there anybody like that? You're welcome to come to the front and pray for you. And while that's happening, if you're here and you want to just again remove all the boundaries and say, Lord, all of my life I want to follow you in every part. Why don't you just give your heart just where you're standing now. Just do business with him. Say, Lord, here I want to trust you in my finances and my marriage. I want to entrust you. I want to follow you in how I do my business, Lord, and how I go about challenges in life, Lord. I want to be led by your Spirit. I don't want to lean on the arm of the flesh. I don't want to follow worldly human wisdom. I want to only trust in your power, Lord. Just where you're at, won't you just, wherever you're standing, won't you just bring your heart before God for a moment? Thank you, Lord. Father, we humble ourselves before you this morning. Open our hearts and we say, we trust you. We choose this morning again to follow you as King, as Lord over all. We choose again this morning, Lord, to say, Lord, we want to be led by your Spirit. And we want to truly be sons and daughters of God. We want to be children of God, being led by your Spirit, empowered by your Spirit, victorious by your Spirit. Your glory would fill our lives because of the power of your Spirit in us and through us. That we would truly see those rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being, Lord. The rivers of living water flowing into our business, into our workplace, Lord, into our marriages, and unto how we parent, Lord, into our families, into our communities, Lord. That we would see your glory flow. Cover our communities as your power is at work in and through us, Lord. In Jesus' name. close, I also felt that there's somebody here this morning that is experiencing some very traumatic relational breakdown with somebody that's close to you. It could be more than one person, but as we're going to be praying for people afterwards, if that's you and you also come to the front, I would love to pray with you. Thanks for being here this morning. We're going to take some time to pray now. If you want to respond to the word specifically, or if you want to pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, why don't you join me in the front? I'd love to pray with you. If you have not yet received the power of the Holy Spirit, please also come to the front. If you need healing, or if you need wisdom about something specific, please come to the front. I know God has made a way. Amen. So even if you want to just turn to somebody next to you and have them pray with you, you're also welcome to do that. But if you want to stay and worship for a while, please do that. Otherwise, please enjoy some refreshments. Thanks so much. God bless.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.